Thank you, Ty. What a peaceful setting as you read that psalm for us. I invite you to not just, but to keep your finger on that psalm, but also to join with me into John chapter 10 this morning. We're continuing to look at the statements of Jesus we call the I Am statements that come from the book of John. They give a word picture in teaching who he's talking to, but also a word picture of who he is. And last week we realized and recognized that the resurrection is not just an event, it's a person. And today we're going to look into a conversation in John chapter 10 where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. Now, if you're a parent like me, I suspect that you've had a moment where you try to explain something to someone, your child specifically, and maybe giving them instruction or direction, and they just kind of look at you with a blank stare. And you're like, am I speaking a different language? Don't you understand? Here's what it is. And this morning's story kind of involves some of that. To set it up, we need to understand that this statement comes from Jesus as a result of what happens in chapter 9. It's a huge moment in John where Jesus heals a blind man that's been blind since birth. And he sends the blind man to the temple to do what he's supposed to do, and they recognize who this is. He's the blind beggar that's always been outside the temple gates, and all of a sudden, he's in there, and they start questioning him, and the Pharisees and the religious leaders are having this back-and-forth dialogue. They bring his parents in. His parents say, well, he's old enough to answer the questions himself. In fact, he's already told you these questions, and so they question him again, and then they throw him out of the area. And Jesus finds him again and talks to him and asks him about belief. And invites him into believing and understanding who he is. And he makes this statement, knowing that there are Pharisees around him, that he says that the blind have been leading the blind. And the Pharisees respond, are you talking to me? Surely you're not talking to me. But Jesus takes their attention in chapter 10 and continues to develop it and to teach these religious leaders a little something. And it's in this context that Jesus declares that he is the good shepherd. And by saying that, he's stating that there is one that is not so good, that there's one that's out there seeking to destroy and to steal and to rob. And to kill. In fact, and he starts it out. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. Now, as we get into this section this morning, I think it's important for us to understand that Jesus' words are really playing into something that the Pharisees would have known. As he starts sharing this passage and this discussion, it's really pulling back to a passage in Ezekiel 34 where God is going after the religious leaders during the exile. And he's calling into account and he says, in fact, you're horrible shepherds. You're so bad that I'm going to do away with your leadership and I myself am going to be the shepherd. Because I'm the one that truly cares for the sheep, and I'm going to take care of my sheep, all of the sheep, in fact. And so he's giving them this warning, and it says in verse 6 of chapter 10 that they don't get it. They give this blank stare. And so Jesus continues in verse 7 and in 9 and starts declaring that he is the gate that all sheep will come to. And he's talking about this protection of the fold. But as he continues into Ezekiel 34, In this moment, he declares in verse 11 that he is the good shepherd. He states, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So if Jesus is the good shepherd, then we need to understand that we are the sheep. This is nothing new. Scripture over and over refers to God's people as sheep. Now, I do want to have a disclaimer here. I have never raised sheep. I see sheep all around us. I see kids walking sheep down the street in our community, getting ready for the fair. But I've never raised sheep. But what I have found as I've done research and I've talked to people is that there's some characteristics of sheep that we as people often reflect. First is that sheep wander. Isaiah 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us is turned to his own way. It's not uncommon for a sheep to walk away from the shepherd's fold and to kind of, it's this attitude of, I think I'll go this way. Maybe it will be a better spot. Maybe I'll be happier over here. And the reality is that this is where a lot of us are, we tend to wander. We tend to try to figure out life on our own, and we often wander in places that aren't so good, where the dangers are very real. And we keep seeming to make bad decisions after bad decisions at times because of the reality that sheep without a shepherd get lost very easily. The second thing is that sheep are defenseless. They rely on the group mentality, but even more so, they rely on the reality that the shepherd is watching. And on our own, without the body of Christ, watching out for one another, and more importantly, without the protection of the good shepherd, we are really vulnerable to the evil one. Third thing I'm learning is that sheep are very stubborn. Maybe some of you right now are on your couch and you're looking at one another and you're elbowing the person saying, he's talking to you. But we, like sheep, have a tendency to have a mind of our own. And we don't always pay attention to the instruction that's being given to us, even if it's for our own good. And I'm sure there are a lot of other qualities, but basically it comes down to sheep need a shepherd. We need Jesus, and without him, we're vulnerable to the one that seeks to kill and to destroy. And that's why it's really good news for us when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so this morning, I want us to look at four qualities that we find in the Good Shepherd. And to do that, we're going to look at a great passage that provides lots of incredible word pictures for us this morning about God as our shepherd, which Ty read for us just a minute ago in Psalm 23. The first thing I find about the Good Shepherd is that he guides. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, have you ever found yourself in a time or a position where you need to make some big decisions in your life? There's stuff going on and you're just trying to figure things out. What I found, and we've talked about this before, is that there is a process that as you seek the Lord, he reveals himself. He reveals himself and he guides us, because as we seek the Lord, we learn to know his voice. We learn to listen for that specific voice. In fact, John 10, verses 3 and 4 says, the gatekeeper will open the gate for the shepherd, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. Part of the good news for us this morning, part of the gospel message, is that we share an understanding that our good shepherd calls us by name. and he knows us by name, and he leads us out into places that are good for us. That he is a relational and a personal God. The good shepherd calls us by each by name and leads us out. And scripture says that because they know his voice, they follow him. Now, God is not limited in how he speaks. We understand that, yes, he can speak audibly, but he also primarily speaks through his word. And while he can also speak through circumstances and he can speak to us through one another, that's where the flock understanding is really helpful. But he guides. The second thing the good shepherd does is he provides. Again, verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love that imagery. He makes me lie down in green pastures and beside quiet waters. Think about it. These are places of serenity and provision. He takes us where places where we're safely fed and we're properly fed, even down to the kind of water that won't rush us away. In fact, Jesus says that he is the living water. We can be fed and our thirst quenched so that we can find rest. You see, the Bible says that he restores my soul. That's part of God's provision. I love it. He doesn't just provide for us materially. He doesn't just provide for our bodies. He provides for our souls as well. And for some of you right now, you've got everything on the outside that you need, but you're struggling for what's on the inside because your soul isn't at rest. We all need a shepherd so that we can find that restoration. And the amazing thing is, when you're a sheep under the care of the good shepherd, chaos can break out everywhere around you. All the different things that are trying to get at you, you're into the protection. And when all that's going wrong, and yet you can have this supernatural peace that transcends understanding, people will wonder, how? Why is it that all this stuff's going on and you're not freaking out? And your simple response is that I know the good shepherd. I know the shepherd cares for me. Sheep need a shepherd. The good shepherd guides. The good shepherd provides. He also corrects. Now, some of you may think that's not a great thing. If you think the sheep keeps wandering, they're going into places that are of danger, where the wolf and the lion and the bear try to consume the sheep. Places of danger, the cliffs, the water, all these different things. And it may not seem like good news at the time, but it truly is good news that God cares enough to correct when we start to wander into danger. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. As I said, it's not uncommon for a lamb to leave the flock and then he becomes vulnerable to whether it be a beast or a falling off a cliff or somehow getting in trouble. And what the loving shepherd would do as they watch and they're keeping over is that they see that lamb wandering off and they know the danger that it's headed for. And the loving shepherd would take the rod or the staff and correct the sheep. Whether it's just getting their attention, knocking them on the head a little bit or on the leg, or taking the crook of the staff and pulling it in back into the safety of the group. There are many times when good and loving God lets us face the consequences of our wandering decisions in hopes that we will not keep making those decisions that lead us further. And so sometimes he corrects us. It's not something we seek out, but Hebrews chapter 12 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness, of peace for those who have been trained by it. Our good shepherd is so loving that he loves us enough even to correct us so that we don't get further into trouble. He guides, he provides, he corrects. We need a good shepherd, but he also protects. Back to Psalm 23, in verse 4 it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. When God is with me, I have nothing to fear. When he's with me, I am at rest in my soul. When he is with me, I know that he's working for in all things to bring about the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. I will fear no evil, for your rod, it's a weapon that helps protect against those things that would attack us. And your staff, it pulls us in, back into the security of himself. And so there's protection from the outside things that are obvious. But it doesn't end there. It says in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. This last one, we don't always understand what that means, but the reality is that flies were everywhere. Animals get dirty, and it draws the flies, and the flies, it's not uncommon for them to get up into the nasal cavity, and rather than as they develop, they don't go back out, they go up, and the flies would get into the brain cavity and drive a sheep bonkers, literally to the point where it would go stir crazy and hit itself again in the head against a rock trying to get that fly, and obviously possibly kill itself. So when it says that he anoints it, this oil is basically an insect repellent. And the good shepherd says, I'll even take care of what irritates you. That's how good a shepherd I am. My cup overflows. Not only does God provide what we need, he gives us more. Because our cup overflows, then we can be generous like our Father is generous and use what he's given us and blessed us with to be a blessing to others. And because of all this, we can live in a relationship with the Good Shepherd that we see in verse 6 where it says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. While he protects me, this doesn't mean that you'll never experience harm. But it does mean that spiritually, he has stored up for you an inheritance that can never spoil. That will never perish and it will never fade because the good shepherd is the one that laid down his life for you. It's part of not just the protection, but also the provision. Jesus told a parable. He says, if a shepherd had 100 sheep and one wanders off, the good shepherd will leave the 99 to find the one, and they will celebrate when that one is found. May I say this morning that some of us need to hear this message, if not just one of us. Maybe you're that one that needs to hear that the shepherd is looking for you. Listen for his voice. Call out to him. He loves you that much. He pursues you. He wants the best for you. It comes down to a simple question. Do you know the good shepherd? Not just the words that describe him, but do you know him? Do you know him personally? It makes all the difference in the world. Maybe you're the one person that needs to hear this morning, that the good shepherd is seeking you. He's calling out your name. He knows what you need, and He wants you to know that He cares for you. And at the same time, there's also someone that's out looking not for your benefit. That there is an evil one that wants to steal, to kill, and destroy. But our good shepherd came that you would have a rich and satisfying life. That you experience life to the fullest because He cares. He loved you so much that He would lay down His life for you specifically. So that you could know His love and have the freedom of following a good shepherd that wants to reveal perfect love to you. And not that He's just a God, but that He is a good God. That He does so much more. That He didn't have to, but He did anyway. We talk about heroes in our people, in our military, in our veterans, and we salute them today because many put down their life for you so that you could experience the freedom that you have today in this country. But God, knowing who we were, knowing that we wander, that we don't listen, that we're stubborn, came to this world and gave His life for you and me. That we could truly experience what we could not attain on our own. That we could experience His love in a way that's not about religion. It's not about just do this, don't do that. But it's about a relationship with a God that cares. That more than just cares, that He loves you more than you know. And so we invite you this morning. Beginning that relationship is as easy as ABC. That we accept the fact that we sin. That we've messed up. That we've strayed. That we believe in what He's done for us. That He laid His life down for us. And that we would confess our sins. For He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and all unrighteousness. That His sacrifice is perfect. It's enough. It's more than enough. And that we would receive that gift and enter it into our lives and allow Him to continue to develop our lives. You're not in a place that's so far that God doesn't care. He seeks you out. But He loves you enough not to leave you there in that dangerous place. Heavenly Father, we ask You this morning, God, we admit to You this morning that we often stray. We wander away from Your protection, thinking that there's something else. But God, You call out to us. And we believe in Your sacrifice. We believe and understand that You laid down Your life for us on the cross. So that we could have something more than just what this world offers us. That we could have an eternal relationship with You that cannot be separated. God, we confess our sins to You. And we receive the gift of eternal life. Help us to listen to Your voice. Help us to follow You in Your guidance for our lives. Because You want the best for us. You love us that much. And for this we're thankful. In Your name we pray. Amen. Once again, we thank you for joining us this morning. We look forward to the time where we can gather. We'll be sending out information this week and in the following days. Please let us know if you're not receiving these emails. You can call the church office or you can go on our website and sign up directly at the very bottom of the page. I believe it's on the left side. It says sign up for church announcements and information so that we can get that information to you. We're thankful for you. God bless. Good day.